This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I'm Deborah Snyder. I'm an executive producer on the film.
I'm Mark Canton, producer.
I'm Gianni Nunari, and I'm a producer.
I'm Mark Canton, Deborah Snyder. Spoke.
Yeah. Was that clear? Gianni Snyder, Debbie Canton, Mark Nunari. Okay.
Were you all in there watching?
Yeah,
it?
Oh yeah.
Right.
What did you think?
Oh, it was amazing.
Thank you. Did you like it better the first, second, or third time?
The third time, actually. Yeah. You know, I'm able to, like, focus on
we actually charged everyone the third time. You just don't know it's going to be on your hotel bill.
Oh, that's cool. So what first attracted you guys to the project?
Oh, Johnny.
What's the question?
What first attracted you to the project?
Well, it started with a passion. What do you want me to scream?
That is not. Because so they can hear you.
It started about a passion about the whole historical Greek wars and stuff like that. Started actually with Alexander and all that kind of stuff. And the Battle of Thermopylae was always something that I was also passionate about it from when I was a kid or when I studied at school. And then the miracle happens, which is, you know, something that you study at school, which is so serious and didascalic, and suddenly you see it from an angle of Frank Miller. So it was a big present from God, you know, to have found this comic book. And from this comic book, then I found also my partners, and before my partners, the first partner, which is Frank Miller, which you guys saw there. So that was my battle to go and get the rights for Frank Miller. You can imagine how it is to deal with Frank Miller. So. But Zack Snyder was like my Leonidas, and Mark was my Delios or my Stelios. Or, you know, we all have analogies of ourselves with the movies.
Johnny and I had known each other some time. We're great friends, and we were from time to time looking for something to do together. He came over to my house one night, and my son, my oldest son, who's now 15, and was probably only 11, maybe 10, Johnny brought over 300, and my 10-year-old son, just goes to show you what goes on in my house, said, "That's the one. That's it. That's it, Dad." And I went, "Johnny, give me that fucking book. I'm your partner." Johnny was kind enough to ask me and allow me to join him on this adventure. It's been a pretty miraculous ride. We were able to... as Johnny said, we both, frankly, because I had, when we did the first Batman, that's when I got to know Frank. And so I had a long time relationship with Frank. I hadn't seen him in some time, but like everyone else in Comic-Con, everyone knows that Frank is the man. And I happen to love history. I think that this story, in light of the world we live in, is ironically becoming more and more. I mean, as we do interviews, more and more, God knows what it's going to be like by the time the movie opens, more and more thematically really right on in terms of the world we live in today and everything that the Spartans stood for. And their codes really was attractive. I thought, well, besides everything else, because of the brilliance of the graphic novel, the fun factor, the popcorn factor, that we can make a movie that really is thematically very powerful about sacrifice and about honor and about commitment. Then Zack Snyder came into the mix and frankly had an ingenious vision of how he wanted to render the movie, somewhere between literally taking what Frank had done and translating it to the screen, but also adding his own skills, which are prodigious. So we joined forces when we then came into this. Deb was in business with Zach, and we all banded together. Jerry was not kidding up there. This was a, you know, I've been involved with a lot of movies. This was as good an experience making movies you could ever have. Everyone was so dedicated to following what Zach needed from them. And also, in terms of, you know, as a producer, you don't often learn that much. But when you make a movie where the technology is so evolutionary, but the story still relies on very good storytelling, it is, it was sort of new ground. And I think, you know, we aimed the target very high so that you would have a story where you're dazzled by the imagery. At the same time, you are moved even to tears by the camaraderie and the heart of the story. So it's been just been fantastic, you know, the level of commitment, the actors, their training, and everything else. And having
after this speech, I don't think they, you guys don't have any more questions.
Well,
he basically told you everything. And so she started with one question, but did you bring no mic? I have a question for you guys. Do you have more tapes? Because he's gonna talk for 5 hours. Do you need to go back to certain places?
Yeah. This is what we do. This,
are you leaving tonight or you staying? Okay, so Mark, go ahead.
Yeah. So now that was that movie. Now we can talk about 300.
To take a historical event, though, and to tell it in a way that it's not for my parents, that it's something that I want to see in a modern way, is so exciting for me. And that's what attracted me. It's such a powerful story about the sacrifice. But also, it, you know, like I think Frank said in the panel, there's something that's a little timeless that's modern about it as well. And we're not giving you, it's not a history lesson. It's, you know, as Zach would say sometimes, it's kind of like history on crack, you know. But it's still, but the story remains the same and the themes are powerful. And that's what I like about it. How's that for an answer? That's short, at least.
I thought that was very long-winded, actually.
I'm cool because between the two of them, I can just be silent. I can talk and talk.
Even Jerry
talk.
Butler doesn't understand his accent.
Any other questions?
It's a new fashion way to make a movie with classic themes.
It is a sword and sandals movie in terms of, you know, theme. Was that a worry that then that's not going to be as you know, box office wise, that's kind of generally a
Oof, we fought on this sword and sandal so-called phrase that even the studio that finally sponsored us into this trying to make the movie, we always used to get this famous answer that both of my partners remember very well. We used to get it, we like it, we love it. They would never understand what Rick and Zach wanted to do. Because they don't use crack at the studio, but we used to get always this answer. You know, I think we are kind of sword and sandal fatigue here. You remember?
Yeah.
So we took the sandals out.
And Zach was, but listen, this is actually not a sword and sandal. It's nothing to do with it. It's not like Troy, it's not like Alexander, it's not like Kingdom of Heaven. But we were preparing the movie and offering the movie to the market exactly when those three movies were getting done or coming out on distribution. And that was the answer. So, but that's where Zach got in and says, look, that's how the movie's going to be, you know, and it was spent, and it's going to come out.
How do you think if that was everywhere? I mean,
we had to do a test. They said, we said, well, it's going to look different, and they said, well, what do you mean it's going to look different? You know, it takes place 480 BC, and
you had to do an animatic first.
We did an animatic, and then they said, well, show it. Can you film a scene? Can you, you know? So Zach didn't want to film a scene because we had no actors cast or anything, but he said, okay, I'll give you something and I'll show you what the look that it does. It's not going to look like anything you've seen before. It's going to hopefully redefine what that genre is. And they gave us some money, and we shot a little test shot that was a minute long of just a battle with stuntmen that we did on stage.
Which looks and fantastic, by the way.
And it's interesting because it was, for us, we shot it all on green screen. And it was a great process for us to learn what we did wrong, what we would change, and the look has evolved substantially since we did that test. But it was enough evidence to say, ah, you're not doing like Troy Light, or you're not, you know, that was the fear that we were going to do, you know, something like that. And they finally understood that what Zach wanted to do was take that graphic novel and bring, no, I want to shoot these frames. I'm going to expand upon them. But when the shadows look like this, when it's in silhouette, it's going to be in silhouette. I want it to look like this.
One of the reasons we waited to preview the movie is because, as you could see today, so many of the shots are not finished. People get it, but even we are really excited about what the end product will be. It's like a painting, and making that painting come to life. And that is, again, part of the uniqueness of the experience. You have not seen anything that looks like this in another Sword and Sandal. You just haven't.
Was there any kind of, let's make it PG-13, kind of down?
One of the things that we set out to do, and this comes back from when Johnny first told me about this, and then certainly not Zach and Deb and everyone came aboard, we were either going to make it our way or make it our way somewhere else. Warner Brothers has been a phenomenal partner. They have been unwavering in their support. Not everyone, just like at all studios, feels safe in that R-rated zone. And not everyone likes the amount of blood or gore or whatever. But I think some of the way the palette is or the colors, we literally respond to the fact that you feel like, in a way, it's like being on the ride, or as opposed to standing back from the ride. You're on the roller coaster, so you get that sensation. That's sort of what it's like when you see the blood and stuff. You feel like it's all so seamless to the way the story is that it doesn't. There's no yuck factor in this movie. It's graphic, but there's no yuck factor.
Well, it's more like an opera, and it's not, I would always say, it's not like Saving Private Ryan and how in the battle scenes, I mean, that was very graphic. I mean, we're very graphic too, but we do it in a way that, you know, it's a ballet of death, and a lot of the blood, there was very few shots that we actually shot real blood on stage. A lot of the blood that you're going to see is two-dimensional blood to keep within the character of the graphic novel. And I think it takes on a whole other thing, you know. So yes, it's graphic in a way, but in a way it's like, I don't know, I'm mesmerized looking at it because it also is, you know, it's very stylized.
Is there anything in the story that got changed from going from graphic novel to film? Anything that was added or embellished upon? Or
the role of the queen, Lena Headey, who we just love, was embellished, you know, in order to, I mean, and by the way, again, Zach went and did his homework to try to see what the history would have been, so that, because Frank had been so painstaking about that, so their relationship is expanded.
Because she's referred to, and she says goodbye to him before
yes,
he goes off
yeah,
to battle, but there's not much else as far as, I don't even remember his son, actually, in the...
Yeah.
I think he mentioned his son.
Yeah.
Right,
but they're all central characters here, and historically they were as well. So,
what about visually, though? I mean, in order to take it from the 2D page and put it onto the cinema, there must have been challenges, things you found along the way that you were able to sort of embellish and bring into a new place that you couldn't possibly do on the screen.
Well, especially because sometimes the way the graphic novel is drawn, you know, it has a lot of forced perspectives that you can't really, you know, what lens are you going to use to shoot that? Because, you know, but because we did it all against actually mostly blue screen, we were able to kind of use some of the forced perspectives because of the visual effects, because Zach really wanted to, it's so much a part of the graphic novel, he wanted to play with that as well. And in every instance, you know, almost every scene, I'd say there are the frames, when Zach would do his storyboards, he would take and cut out the Frank scene, and then he would either draw it a little bit with, you know, more sides and draw around it and add it, but it was very much a part of his storyboarding process, and we were very obvious, you know, careful about, you know, okay, we'll take this from the book, and then what do we need to add? And because there were so many visual effects, every single frame was storyboarded, because we had to figure out what was real, what was not real. We used a lot less people for the armies as traditional, you know, sword and sandals, because we were doing a lot of visual effects, and because it was very important for Zach to have fighting be choreographed and really fighting. He didn't want extras in the back just going, you know, playing with their swords. We used basically all stuntmen for the fighting, which is, you know, in the traditional genre films, they have a lot more people.
There's a lot more compositing rather than...
Right.
There's a lot of compositing, a lot of, you know, layering with the armies, a lot of different plates we shot for different things, a lot of set extensions when we did have sets. Sparta was our biggest set piece, but mostly everything else was, you know, if you touched it, we built it, and other than that, we kind of...
Were there actors that acted in scenes together there or never met?
No. All the actors acted together.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, that was it?
Thank you so much.
Okay.